This is Chapel for March the 6th, 1963. This is Student Coordinating Council Day, and Stephen Akinleye is speaking.
Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. You're reminded in your prayers to remember in your prayers the missions conference, which is this weekend. Oftentimes, many of us do not find the quietness that we want in our own devotional life, and you're again reminded that we have prayer rooms upstairs on each side of the chapel here in which you may come for a quiet moment of meditation and a quiet moment of prayer. Remember the missions conference, those who will be traveling here to be with us, to speak to us, and to those who will be coming to hear and to know. Our speaker this morning is one which most of us have gotten to know throughout this year, as he and Alfred O. Tang have come to us as first members of our student body from Africa, Stephen Akinleye. Stephen became a Christian in 1933, and he even remembers Sunbeam class there, remembers attending it. He attended the Mission High School. He taught for 7 years and then accepted a position with the government. In this capacity with the government, he accepted the call to the ministry. He then attended Nigerian Baptist Seminary. Stephen is the pastor of 5 growing churches in Ghana, which are spaced, I believe, about 50 miles apart, which you can see is quite a church feel. Before now, he has had to get to these churches by way of public buses, which is, of course, a long and tiring method of transportation. But thanks to a church from Smithfield, the Sharon Baptist Church, who the pastor is a Southeastern Baptist seminary graduate, they have a gift of $500 toward the purchase of a used Volkswagen to use when they return. Stephen and Alfred have been guests in a number of North Carolina cities, a number of churches. Many of us have gotten to know them and appreciate the work that they are doing in Ghana, appreciate the devotion and the determination to learn better how to serve as they are here on our campus. After the scripture reading and the morning prayer by Don Stevenson, Stephen will bring our message. Let us pray. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I count this a great privilege for me to be able to stand before you today. I have been in this country about seven months ago, and with me, I carry the greetings of my government and of the people, especially the Baptist people in Ghana and Nigeria, with me. In fact, I have not been able to deliver it officially to you, but it's getting too late. We have a saying, better late than never. So I bring greetings from the people of Nigeria and from the people in Ghana. One of the most difficult things for me, I don't know for anybody else, is for you to stand before your professor and try to preach, especially when you try to preach while you have your professor in preaching. If you try to preach from Old Testament, you have your professor in Old Testament. If you try to go to the New Testament, you have every one of them here. And so I count it one of the most difficult things, but I still think that a message is a message. As a missionary product, I'm going to give you my view according to my experience and what we as ministers, as watchmen over our people can do. I was happy when I came here and met Dr. Patterson here. They are what we call our father in Africa. I have been under the instruction of Mr. Patterson and Dr. Patterson for a number of years, and they have been in my home for at least 23 years, so I have known them to be my fathers. I thank this school and the authority for the privilege they have given us to study. However, let us go on. For the past weeks, or for this last past month, we have talked so much about missionaries in foreign lands and the Foreign Mission Board. This morning, I have nothing against the Foreign Mission Board and its policies, neither do I bring anything against the missionaries. They have contributed largely to the success of our dear continent, Africa, and have put in their weight in shaping it to what it is today. In Ghana and Nigeria, almost all our government leaders, men in positions, are product of one mission or another. And so the missionaries have contributed largely to the progress in our land. It was the missionary effort that produced men like Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, the President of the Republic of Ghana, the Honorable S.L. Akintola, Prime Minister of Western Nigeria, Dr. J.T. Ayonide, Chairman of the Nigerian Broadcasting Service, and now the Acting General Secretary of the Nigerian Baptist Convention, Dr. J.A. Adegbite, Principal of the Baptist Academy, Lagos, now Commissioner for Trade and Commerce in Western Nigerian Government, and a host of many others. Indeed, we have been blessed by the efforts of the Christians in this land of yours through the untiring efforts of the men and women you have sent abroad. Therefore, on behalf of the Baptists in Ghana and Nigeria, yea, in the whole continent of Africa, I thank all of you for what you have been able to do for us and for what you plan to do in the future. We still need you in Africa to help shape Africa. When you read the daily papers today, you know that Africa is just on the verge. Africa is just on the map today. Mohammedanism on the north is raging, and Christianity is just a tiny spot in Africa. And so, we still need you there. We need teachers in our schools. We need scientists, experts in agricultural techniques to help develop our rich soil, doctors, nurses in our hospitals. We need preachers as well. Come over to Africa and help us. Let us join hands together to build this nation called Africa for Christ. However, the old order changes, yielding place to new. Africa has been transformed from black continent to the continent in the light under the powerful gospel of Christ. It has been transformed from the white man's grave into the paradise for the white man. Indeed, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell under the shadow of death, upon them that has the light shined. The Africans, however, will resent the action of any missionary, Peace Corps, or even diplomatic agents who comes back or in writing home try to paint the picture of our country with a black pencil. Therefore, we need consecrated men and women, those who will not for the love of globe-trotting cross the seas under the guise of the Foreign Mission Board, the Peace Corps, or the federal government. We need men and women who have crossed the streets in their community before trying to cross the seas. We need men and women with whom their academic qualifications also have spiritual qualities and a sense of responsibility to God and to man. We invite you all to come. There is still room. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The need of the world today is for God-called men, real watchmen, who will preach the gospel of the living Christ, who will preach the gospel of the exalted Christ. The responsibility of preachers today is great. Our job is not an easy job. It is a delicate heritage. As God called the prophets of old, so he did call you and me today. I will refer you to the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, the first 6 verses. There he described the work of a watchman. He said, "Watchman, I have set thee as watchman over Israel. Yours is to be on the alert, to watch. And when I say to the wicked man, he shall die, it is your duty to warn that wicked man. And if you fail as watchmen, that wicked man in fact will die of his iniquities, but his blood will I require out of thy hand." And seeing these qualities, as Ezekiel said it, ours is a double job. Ours is a delicate heritage. There are wickedness and all sorts of things in this world today. One of the most vices that we are all fighting against today is communism and Mohammedanism, especially in Africa. And we need to guide our loins as ministers of the gospel and go forth and help. A world full of confusion we live in today, a world full of sorrow. I wonder if this is not the appropriate time when we ought to look back and see, as watchmen, where we have failed in our duties, as spiritual watchmen over the spiritual well-being of our people. We need to take serious thoughts and examine ourselves today. This is an age when men and women all over the world, in Africa, in Europe, in America, try to exchange God for an idol, an age when success is being measured by academic qualifications. The success of a church is being measured in the terms of size of building, number of congregation, the amount the church is able to raise in a week or during the year. Watchmen, what are we doing to help our churches today? Sunday after Sunday, we preach. What is the qualification that our churches want today? I was reading a paper the other day, a church advertising, or I was visiting with a church. Well, we want a church, a pastor, with social degrees, with social degrees. They never went and asked what spiritual qualities that man has. Our churches today are interested in academic qualities of the preachers. They want men who has academic success, and that is enough. Let me for a moment introduce a prospect pastor to a church to you by a deacon. We are happy to welcome to our pulpit this morning Dr. John Doe. Dr. Doe was educated at Harvard University, graduated with MA, THD, Union Theological Seminary, THM, Southern Baptist Seminary, PhD, Yale University, D.D. Hartford. As a result of this, Mr. Doe proudly goes to that church and walked to the pulpit. He thanked the deacons and the men and began to say how much of Tillich and Brunner theologies he has acquired in school. As a result of these theologies, he has forgotten to meet the need of the spiritual condition of the people. And alas, it is a woeful disappointment. Our churches today are sick of spiritual diabetes. We have put too much sugar into the gospel we preach to them. We need to put more sour things there. We need to tell the truth. Truth is bitter. Sometimes when you tell it, it is bitter, but it's going to do our members good. I once listened to a preacher of the gospel saying, "My people are deep rooted in that kind of sin, and I cannot do anything." And so, I confirm. Paul said, "Be ye transformers and not conformers." As preachers of the gospel, if you are going to conform with whatever your people do, with whatever kind of sin they commit, Ministry is not your job. Otherwise, you will regret at the end. And so, as ministers of the gospel, we are to transform our people for good and not to conform with all kind of evils. Preachers today are afraid to speak the truth for the fear of being run out of their churches. As long as I get my pay, ride my car, get every bill, and pay everything, I'm not worried. Let me stay. Let me have it easy. If we will be true watchmen, we will preach the truth of this gospel to our people. I wonder, if Jesus were to be here today, I'm sure his most urgent plea to you and me will be this. My people are being underfed. Give them the truth. Preach the word in season and out of season. Preach the truth courageously and uncompromisingly. Much of our energies today is being directed outside, and we are right. Inside, we are not all right. We preach today about foreign mission field, far lands where the people are poor, they don't have, they are primitive people, they don't know Christ, they don't do this, they don't do that. But right here on our pulpit, but right here in front of you, Sunday by Sunday, in front of me, Sunday by Sunday, are men who profess to be Christians, but they are sinners in the highest order. Here are men and women whose custom allow them to use other people as servants, but we despise them on the streets. Here are men and women who contribute largely to the Foreign Mission Board and to support the missionaries you have sent out, but those product of missions will come to the state and find it impossible to go to the church of their choice. I once met somebody, I will not mention the college he attends, he and his wife. I asked him, he used to be a product of our mission, and I asked him, Mr. So-so-so, what church do you attend in the state? He said, well, I don't go to church. He used to be a Baptist preacher before he left. And he said, I don't go to church. I knew him, he used to be a training union leader. I don't go to church. Why you don't go? I don't have a church to go. This should be a shame. This should be a shame. We need to do something as preachers. As of recent date, the Southern Baptist Convention maintained 377 missionaries in Africa and about 1,627 in all foreign lands. If the 377 in Africa, yea, the 200 in Nigeria can help transform that country of ours, which was about 100 years ago in darkness, if they can help transform it into what it is today, I wonder what the over 4,000 ministers and ministerial students in this land, what we are doing towards transforming our men and women into useful Christian citizens. We need to do something. We need to preach the truth to them. The attitude of members of some of our churches is likely to destroy what men and women have spent most of their lives to build up in the foreign mission field. I consider it is our duty as preachers to help our people to see the light. Most of them doesn't know, or most of these people do not know, it is a sin to hate. They think, well, let's give money and then let's preach Christ to them there, but we have nothing to do with them again. This is a sin. We need to tell them. William Carey, when he was going, he said to his people, yonder in India is a gold mine. I go to dig. You hold the rope at home. You pray for me. You are praying. And I believe the missionaries, yeah, Bowen, when he was living over 100 years ago, he said to the people of Africa, yonder in Africa is a gold mine, and I will go and dig. And when you go to Nigeria today and Ghana, you know it was really a gold mine for Christ, but what are you doing to hold this gold mine going on, glittering for Christ? May I remind you and urge you at this time that Christians in this land, we need to walk and pray towards complete integration. One of my surprises was the church ought to take the lead in integration because it is our moral duty. Christ taught us that in him there is no East or West, no Greek or Jew. But alas, Christians, after the government have passed the law, we still resist it. Do we forget Christ? Do we forget his sayings? Have we forgotten? What kind of watchmen are we? To illustrate my ejaculation all this time, let me say this. To illustrate the amount of damage it does on the outside world, let me briefly read a clipping from the Biblical Recorder. I know many of you have read it. This was sent by a missionary from far land beyond the seas to tell you, I hope, to speak to you, my people. This is what the action of people at home is doing here. I quote, "Africans have a cause to criticize America. It is time American youth should mobilize themselves in a great way to end the race issue, which always shoot out to make the Americans smell." The missionary noted, "The picture does not look bright for us here in West Africa. We are being tolerated, but there is a feeling of not being wanted. Every incident, like the one in Mississippi, sets us back here in Africa." The editor of that paper continued or commented, I quote, "The mission program of the Southern Baptists is at a critical juncture. What do we here do at home will largely determine whether missionaries are merely being tolerated." Here is the problem. Our problem today is the problem of Mohammedanism versus Christianity. And this Mohammedanism, men and women today, as you read about them, they are coming over. They come to study in the States. Let's take, for instance, a Mohammedan who comes to study, and his study happens to be in the university with a Christian who has come to study. And he goes to his mosque, and he asks this Christian boy, "Why, you don't go to your church today? Today is Sunday, you don't go?" "No, I cannot worship with my people." You think to what extent that goes. "I cannot worship with my people." To that Mohammedan, "These people have come." He will use this attitude of ours against our Christianity. And so I urge, as young ministers, to go out and please pray to God and help us change this attitude. In dead earnest, let us ask ourselves, ministers and preachers of the Word of God, is this not the appropriate time for us to take the challenge seriously as never before? For what does it profit us if we use all the dollars in foreign lands, send the best men and women to spend the rest of their lives, some losing their lives, and eventually destroy what these faithful men and women have laid their lives down to build? What does it profit us? The world is looking to the Christians in this land as peculiar people, as chosen people, chosen instrument by God to preach, to spread the gospel to the undeveloped world. As I came into your country from New York, indeed, I told my partner, I said, indeed, America has been blessed, and it should be a source of blessing to the other nations. As the Israelites of old, I pray that your responsibilities, your privileges, might not be used as the Israelites of old did use theirs. We still have time. Today is the time. Let us go with one spirit, with one mind. Go, preach the word. In this warfare that is raging for the truth and for the right, God needs men and women, courageous men, to preach the gospel to the people. Yours is the job. The world depends on you. If you fail, who will do it? May the Lord depend on you.
Our Father, help us to absorb this message and understand this message within our hearts and within our minds. Give us the challenge. May we accept the challenge to dedicate ourselves anew to knowing our own life, to knowing thy call for our life, that we might further witness unto thee both in our home and abroad. Guide us and direct us as we pray in thy name and for thy sake.